This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. There's an epidemic of reckless driving in Milwaukee. Drivers have been blowing through stop signs, weaving through traffic, and passing in bike lanes. And law enforcement has been cracking down on this behavior. But there are many solutions to reckless driving, which can include redesigning streets to encourage better driving behavior. These redesigns are frequently referred to as road diets, and they're shown to decrease accidents and reduce the fatalities and crashes. Kevin Muse is the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, an organization working to solve transit issues in the region. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Yeah, glad to join you.
So, you know, we're talking about road diets, but part of the conversation, I think, has to be about four-lane roads in general. So, you know, these are very common in metropolitan areas, especially. What makes these roads dangerous?
Sure. So there's nothing that universally makes a four-lane road dangerous. It really depends on a lot of design attributes to it. One of the most challenging four-lane roads, though, especially if you're walking or even navigating an area that you're unfamiliar with, is a four-lane undivided. A good example in the Milwaukee area would be like King Drive, just north of downtown. MLK there is two driving lanes and then a parking lane in each direction, so a four-lane road. And frankly, it's just really wide to get across from someone who's walking's perspective, from a pedestrian's perspective. So that is one element of the danger. The other thing that's going on with a four-lane undivided road is there typically aren't a lot of turn lanes. And so people, when they're trying to turn left or right, are essentially making an unexpected maneuver to the people behind them, which causes a lot of weaving and changing of lanes and people try to do it at high speeds. And so that can be really dangerous as well when you don't give people a specific lane for turns at a fast-moving road like that. It can really increase the danger for everybody involved. So it's not really inherently four-lane roads. It has to do with design. It has to do with how wide the road is. And then it really has to do with speed as well.
Yeah. So, of course, we're talking about road diets. What is a road diet?
Sure. So typically a road diet, in a slightly more narrower definition, is when you take a road that might have too many driving lanes, travel lanes in it, and you reprioritize that space. And so, say, again, using an example of like King Drive, or another example that's actually been done in Milwaukee would be South 2nd Street, where two lanes in each direction. And if you wanted to, like they did with South 2nd Street, they put some of that space onto wider sidewalks and a little bit of green space for trees and things like that. They put in bike lanes and those sorts of things. And now 2nd Street is one lane in each direction. And so that's what's typically considered a road diet, something that kind of gets included in road diets, but within the transportation world isn't necessarily the same thing, is more a broader group of just traffic calming measures. So these are things that you don't necessarily have to change how many driving lanes there are on a street, but you could do what are called curb bump outs or bulb outs so that at the intersection, you move the curb rather from being at the edge of the parking lane, you move it out to the edge of the bike lane or the driving lane so that the distance people have to cross across the intersection when they're on foot or on wheels is shorter. So people who are walking or using a mobility device don't have to travel as far. And those are sometimes included in a road diet, sometimes not, but other traffic calming measures can also improve the environment and increase safety too, similar to the way a road diet does.
What are some examples of traffic calming measures and different ways that a road might be dieted? Of course, you mentioned bike lanes as being one element.
Mm-hmm. So it's very specific to what the current environment is on that road, how it's being used right now. Is there more lanes, more driving lanes than you need? Do you have excess capacity? And then also just the width of street you have to deal with. And many parts of Milwaukee and other even inner suburban areas of the metro area, there are buildings in the way. So you only have so much width. But based on the situation you have, you might be adding either painted bike lanes, or the city's experimenting right now with even some protected bike lanes, which have a bit of physical separation from moving vehicles. I mentioned curb bump outs and bulb outs for pedestrians. And those are probably the main things that are considered on more on larger streets. On some smaller streets, sometimes things like traffic circles or speed humps also help slow traffic down and make it a more welcoming environment for all users.
In a lot of these cases, it sounds like part of the solution is getting rid of lanes and also making some spaces more narrow. And just intuitively, that sounds less safe. Why is it safer?
Sure. So it really depends on, again, the existing circumstances on the street. But when you give automobiles more space than they need, people tend to just drive faster. It feels safer to be moving more quickly. And if people in automobiles are moving more quickly, that means that everybody else who isn't in an automobile is more likely to die or be seriously injured if they have any interaction with that car, if they're hit or anything like that. So it can cause, depending on how you rearrange it, it might cause more fender benders or something like that. But everything will be happening at a lower speed, so it's going to decrease your serious injuries and your fatalities related to that street.
How much does, you know, decreasing speed by, let's say, just 5-10 miles per hour, how much does that actually decrease the risk of an accident?
Even the difference between an automobile traveling at 40 miles an hour hitting a pedestrian or versus an automobile traveling at 25 miles an hour, there's a huge difference in survivability for the pedestrian. Once you get down to 25 miles an hour or so, it's something like 90% of people survive. And when you go up towards 35, 40 miles an hour, it drops to less than half of people survive when they're hit by an automobile, when they're a pedestrian. So it causes a pretty dramatic shift in survivability.
Yeah. I should not laugh. That it's just a little shocking.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, geez.
Makes a big difference.
So one of the things when I was looking up road diets and kind of their efficacy, one of the things that was mentioned, the traffic points at which people tend to get in accidents, specifically what they were talking about was turning lanes. So when you kind of transform one of the existing lanes of traffic into a turning lane, how does that decrease the points of accidents?
Sure. So, and this gets back to your question around four-lane roads. If you were to take a four-lane road and turn it into one driving lane in each direction and then what's called a twiddle, which is those left turn lanes that are continuous, double striped down the middle of a road so people can turn left wherever they need to into driveways or businesses or things like that. Really what that does is it allows people to get out of traffic, moving traffic to make that left turn. So they can make it an essentially two stages rather than thinking, okay, I'm going to brake, stop everybody behind me who may or may not be expecting me to brake and make a quick left turn. You can get out of the lane, brake, and then think about your left turn. And so it improves decision-making by the driver, but it also removes that vehicle from the moving traffic lane, the through lane, which allows, you know, decreases the chances of somebody behind them rear-ending them or causing some sort of back-to-back collision between vehicles.
So when we're talking about road diets and the Milwaukee area, you know, you mentioned South 2nd Street was an example of a street that went through its own road diet. Are there any other prominent examples, both in Milwaukee and the Milwaukee area, that have undergone this kind of process?
Sure. There are likely numerous examples. Ones that I've thought of most recently, South 2nd Street was a big initiative. And frankly, that was really led by the businesses in the neighborhood around it, interacting with the Department of Public Works and how they designed that street to a pretty good result, I think most would argue. Another one that the city relatively recently completed was South 5th Street, roughly in the same area. I mean, it's almost the entire extent of South 5th Street between essentially the interstate and the Menominee Valley. So that's another one that was narrowed recently. And a lot of the space on there, not only making it a better pedestrian environment, but redoing South 5th Street also allowed the city to install a lot of green infrastructure. And that improves, of course, stormwater drainage and things like that and the environmental qualities of that area. Another prominent example in the region recently would be the Village area along State Street in Wauwatosa. They're actually still working, I believe, on the last phase of that right now. It's been a multi-year process because of how the street network works there. Lots of pieces that needed to be moved, but they really increased the pedestrian environment, really slowed down traffic with some creative, what's called a speed table, or essentially raising the street so that the pedestrians and the cars are at the same level, which encourages the cars to slow down and take the area more cautiously. And other narrowings and rearrangements they did in that area have been pretty impressive, too.
You know, I think some people might hear this conversation and go, all of this seems to lead to slower cars and, you know, perhaps more traffic. Do roads that have gone through, you know, the dieting process, do they have worse traffic?
I think that really gets to picking the correct roads to do this on. So different roads have different purposes as far as are they predominantly a road for through traffic or are they predominantly a road serving residents or businesses directly on the street? So are people using that road mostly to get to the destinations right in that area or are they using it to get through an area? And if they're using that road mostly to get to the destinations in that area, it's not going to have a significant impact on their travel time. And really, it's going to improve everything that happens after they park their car. So it's going to improve getting to those businesses. It's going to give those businesses more sidewalk space so they can have cafe tables and things like that. So it really adds more vibrancy to a neighborhood. There's this kind of interesting conversation in the urban planning world about basically good congestion versus bad congestion. And in neighborhoods and things like that, you really want some congestion because it shows that the neighborhood's vibrant and economically successful. If someone can fly through a residential neighborhood, that's probably a neighborhood that's not really in great economic shape. Whereas, you know, we don't put bicyclists on the interstate or, you know, pedestrian crossings on the interstate because that the primary purpose of the interstate is to move traffic. It's not necessarily about the neighborhoods that are directly adjacent to it.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Muse, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and talking about your work.
All right. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Kevin Muse is the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission.